Well, during the busyness of college sports this last week, as college basketball season rolls on and bowl season started for football, one of the major talking points has actually been a lawsuit against the NCAA. The attorneys general of seven different states filed a measure 2 weeks ago challenging the governing body's rule requiring a two-time transfer student to sit out a year before they can play for their third school. But last week, a federal judge issued a restraining order on that rule because of this lawsuit, meaning all of those players affected could play right away for at least 2 weeks. And now the NCAA and that coalition is working on having that restraining order broadened to be in place until the case is fully decided. Now, one of those seven attorneys general is someone folks here in Chapel Hill know pretty well. That would be Josh Stein, who is North Carolina's AG and a Chapel Hill native. He joins us now on the phone to talk about this lawsuit and next steps. Attorney General Stein, thank you so much for taking the time. How are you?
Great. I'm well. Thank you. And since we're talking sports, I do want to say a word about Eric Montross's passing. He was a tremendous human being. I got to know him personally through his work with my friends Nicholas and Lucy Steiner and their foundation, the Be Loud Sophie Foundation. And he's just an absolute gem of a human being. And my heart goes out to his family and the whole Tar Heel community.
I was going to say that is kind of where we have to start with that somber news coming down this morning. I know that you shared a statement on social media, but similarly with everybody, it feels like Eric found ways to touch people in so many different ways. And yeah, that Be Loud Foundation is a critical example of his philanthropy in the community, isn't it?
Absolutely. Wonderful person.
Well, turning back to the lawsuit, let's kind of start at the beginning. How did all of this come together on your end? How did you hear about it? And had you already been considering some sort of lawsuit and a measure like this challenging the NCAA on this transfer rule?
Yes, the issue came to my attention when NCAA rejected Tez Walker's application to play at Chapel Hill. I was aware of Tez coming in as a recruit, as a wide receiver on the football team, and his facts were so compelling. I was like, there's no way in the world the NCAA is going to deny him the opportunity to play. But they did, and I was completely perplexed. And so I heard from UNC, and we started looking into it legally, and I became convinced that the NCAA was acting without in contravention of federal antitrust law, which exists to enable people to compete. So they resolved the Tez Walker issue. I got a request from Wake Forest University about a basketball player of theirs, Efton Reed, and we wrote a letter to the NCAA about him. But meanwhile, I was in conversation with my fellow attorneys general, and this was a bipartisan group of AGs. I think it was four Democrats and three Republicans. And we had a meeting in Washington where we had a panel about it. And we all resolved, you know what, it's time to strike this rule down once and for all, so we're not having to play whack-a-mole and try to help each individual kid. Because, you know, there were two CAMs. There's NC State's CAM and ECU's CAM, who both played basketball, and they were being denied the opportunity to play. And so I thought, well, let me help all of these young competitors, student athletes, to get their opportunity to play. I mean, that's what they want to do, and they should be able to do it. And NCAA had no rational basis to keep them from playing.
Yeah, you mentioned the violation of the antitrust law, and that's kind of where this lawsuit goes back to. I know that I got some classes and some courses that studied those things at one point, but for our listeners, would you kind of remind us, you know, how those antitrust laws work and what is an example of how they can be applied to a different group separate from college sports?
So basically, we live in a free market economy, which means that people can trade their wares freely, and if companies or organizations engage in practices that restrain competition or restrain the free market, there has to be a pro-competitive reason for it. There has to be some underlying good reason to justify it that passes what's called a rule of reason. And here's just a way for people to understand that, because I brought a number of actions against fast food companies and have been part of many settlements with these fast food companies that had what were called no poach agreements, which basically the fast food restaurants would say, I won't hire your people, you don't hire my people, and if we have this agreement, we can suppress the wages. making it harder for people to advance in their lives. And that is not fair, and it is actually, it's against the law. And so we want all these agreements, striking down these no-poach agreements. And essentially, that is exactly what the transfer eligibility rules proved to do. It was essentially saying you can't go from one school to another, and if you do, you're going to pay a penalty, which makes it so that you won't change schools. There's no such rule that limits coaches from doing it. There's no such rule that limits athletic directors from doing it. There's no such rule that limits regular students from doing it. If a student is a musician and determines that their professional career as a musician is better served by transferring twice and playing in the student orchestra at the third school, of course they can do that. Student athletes should be treated no differently.
We're speaking with North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein here on 97.9 The Hill. And I know the NCAA has drawn the ire of course, Carolina fans, but lots of college athletics fans and college athletics programs for many, many years. And this transfer rule certainly is kind of the latest example of it. Are there any other ways that, in your mind, maybe you're not necessarily taking this to court or bringing it to this lawsuit, but are there any other ways that the NCAA kind of pushes the boundaries of antitrust laws?
I will say they stuck at the Florida State completely unfairly and denying them the opportunity to play in the bowl when they are in the playoffs to win the national championship. But I don't know is an antitrust violation. It was just an unfair decision. This is what I am focusing on right now, is making sure that the student athletes have the opportunity to do what's best for them. It brings them the most satisfaction and joy and happiness, because that's what we want for everybody, including student athletes.
Absolutely. So this restraining order was put out last week, and the NCAA was pretty quick to say we're not going to fight this restraining order too much. We'll let it have 2 weeks. And since then, too, it seems to be cooperating with your coalition to potentially extend it. And whenever this comes back up in court after the winter college athletic season is finished, do you think that by doing that, the NCAA is ceding any ground in their own arguments, or is that pretty normal to see and it's just to help kind of clarify with the student athletes, okay, for this winter semester, go ahead and play?
I mean, I think they knew they were going to get their butts handed to them in court. The judge was very clear in the temporary restraining order that he thought that they had no basis for doing it. And the NCAA has a rule that most people don't know about that was really absurd, which said that even if you take us to court, and you win an injunction, which means that the court has determined you have the right to do something, and then you play, but for some reason later on in the litigation, you ultimately lose, we will come back and make you forfeit every game, even though you were told by the court of law you could play, which is an incredible abuse of power. And the judge called them out on that. And so the NCAA knew that they would lose the preliminary injunction hearing. And so they decided to just throw their hands up at this stage and say, okay, everybody, you know, Cam Hayes, Cam Woods, y'all can get out there and play. And you don't have to worry about, even if we ultimately prevail in this lawsuit, which I honestly do not believe they will, but even if we do, we will not make you forfeit your entire seasons, which is what their rules say. It's just absurd.
Yeah, I imagine it would be just such a headache. And to your point of, it's another example of the individual by individual cases would just be completely stuck instead of kind of giving this blanket rule over to everybody and letting those guys hit the court.
Yep.
Yeah. So this restraining order and the preliminary injunction, all of that now pushes us to whenever the winter season is finished for college athletics. What are the next steps when it comes to this lawsuit?
Well, we will litigate it unless the NCAA settles with us. And basically, I mean, I think there are some rules that could make sense that pass a rule of reason, like maybe not in the middle of a season because it's too disruptive to the players and the teams and the leagues. And maybe you have some kind of academic that you're on track to graduate, an academic requirement, that you make it sure that you're not hurting kids' academic standing. So there may be ways to resolve this that work, and we'll just wait to see if the NCAA is interested in such a resolution.
Once again, we're speaking with North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein. While we have you, I'll put my news director hat on here too. Are there any other lawsuits that are kind of out, or any other cases that your office has been working on when it comes to the state of North Carolina that you want to highlight?
We will be making big news in the next day or so concerning an announcement in principle that we've already released. It's also an antitrust case, and it has to do with Google, where Google has this in-app Play Store, and to use the do any in-app purchase, they make you use their payment processing system, which can cost upwards of 30% processing fees, when, you know, usually credit card processing fees are 2 or 3%. We took them to court for violating our antitrust laws, for jacking up the cost on everybody who uses the Google in-app store. And we already reached a resolution, and we're going to be announcing what that final resolution looks like in the next 24 hours or so. So I feel very proud about that work. Our economy is doing incredibly well in this country. You know, we have the best performing economy in the world post-COVID. We're in positive territory. All the losses we experienced, we've now gained and then some. We're at 3.4% unemployment. So many things are going great in here. Obviously, we want it to continue to go great and do even greater so that people, you know, can support their families and deal with the cost of living. But it's all about having a free market economy. And the antitrust laws help us to rein in monopoly powers or conspiracies like the NCAA, monopoly power like Google. And I want American consumers and workers to be able to have freedom to compete and freedom to enjoy prosperity that exists here. And that's why I'm so aggressive enforcing our antitrust laws.
And last question for you here, Attorney General Stein. I'll switch back to my kind of sports host hat here. Let's talk ball. I know that you're a Tar Heel fan. What do you think of how their football season has gone with the bowl game coming up and how basketball season is going so far?
Well, I guess it's two sides of the same coin. Like, I'm exceptionally disappointed not to see Tez play another game, certainly not to see Drake May throw another pass in a Carolina uniform, but really excited for the people who have been on the bench all season to have, you know, Connor Harrell. He played a few plays and hit it out of the park. And so this is his chance to shine. And so I'm eager to watch the bowl game and see how the backups play now that they're at the front of the line. And then the basketball team holds a lot of promise. I mean, so much experience. They just need to continue to gel. If they keep hitting, if they get three people to hit threes somewhat consistently, I think Carolina can go far in the NCAA tournament. And it's just fun to have a team that has a lot of promise like they did.
I think that's a pretty good summary of all things. Well, thank you again to North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein for joining us. And we'll continue to be following this lawsuit. I imagine, as you said, we'll be getting some updates before too long on other things, too. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
All right, Brian. Take care.